You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Those of you who are worried about making your kids go to church and how that might leave them hating religion, the numbers actually say precisely the opposite. Those families who treat church as optional, they're the ones who are on the road to basically losing their faith.
I came to the conclusion that I don't believe that the ELCA is evangelical. I don't believe that it's Lutheran. Is it Christian? You can judge for yourself. I personally am doubting that it is. I mean, I guess it's in America. That's about all you can say for it.
Christ has taught me in his living and dying and living again how to pray when you must bear a cross. And he prays, Lord, take this cup from me. But Lord, thy will, not mine.
New York City subway riders love issues, etc.
Several years ago, it was Kermit Gosnell. You remember? The abortionist in Pennsylvania, who, among other things, collected trophies from abortions, the remains of aborted babies, and it was gruesome to describe. Everyone said, well, Kermit Gosnell is a bad apple in the abortion industry. The average abortionist isn't Kermit Gosnell. Well, it's happened again. Now it's Ulrich Klopper in South Bend, Indiana. He also collected trophies over thousands of abortions and the remains of over 2,000 aborted babies found in his home in Illinois. Well, he has a track record of skirting the law and the regulations around abortion, as did his clinic. It was shut down. And this story involves, in some way also, a presidential candidate, Pete Buttigieg, who was the mayor of South Bend, under whose nose a lot of this took place. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 17th of September. We're going to be talking about the story of the remains of over 2,000 babies found in the home of an Indiana abortionist. Margot Cleveland of The Federalist will be our guest. Pastor Peter Bender joins us after that. We continue our series on Lutheran catechesis today, the third article of the Creed and the Day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then Molly Hemingway of Fox News will join us in the last half hour to discuss two issues, a new book about Justice Kavanaugh and a New York Times story that includes a new allegation of an incident of sexual assault involving Kavanaugh. We'll see how that story is affecting both Kavanaugh and the New York Times in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to discuss the remains of over 2,000 babies found in the home of an Indiana abortionist, Margot Cleveland. She's an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge. She's adjunct instructor for the College of Business at Notre Dame, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Fetus Collecting Abortionist Connected to Unlicensed Abortion Facility in Buttigieg's Town. Margot, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much.
What do we now know about abortionist Ulrich Klopfer and his Indiana abortion facility?
So we've known for some time about him and his practice. He was what they call the most prolific abortionist in Indiana. He actually ran a center in South Bend called the Women's Pavilion, which when I was physically at the university, it was one of the unfortunate parts of the city. And the Women's Care Center that I was a volunteer for years had a place next door to help women who were facing a crisis pregnancy. And that got shut down and he lost his license in 2016. But we knew for a long time that he cut corners. He used veterinarian medications for painkillers because it was cheaper, that he did abortions on children under 13 without properly reporting it, kept inaccurate records. But what we didn't realize is that he was hoarding over 2,000 remains of deceased unborn babies at his Illinois home.
How have abortion advocates reacted to these recent revelations?
Well, most of them have tried to put some distance between themselves, saying, you know, things along the lines of, we're shocked and we look forward to an investigation. So making it sound like they want to find out what happened here, but at the same time trying to buoy up their own practice that, you know, we're good abortion doctors and that we care about women and their health. One thing I haven't seen anyone do is just outrightly condemn and say there's no justification. There's no reason that he would have remains of the aborted babies at his house. None. And yet you hear them saying we're waiting for an investigation, which is rather shocking to me. That's kind of like saying you want to wait to find out exactly how many babies Gosnell killed.
Have these advocates always been critical of Klopfer?
They haven't, and that is the part that is rather interesting. When he lost his license, one individual named Liam Morley, who had worked at his South Bend abortion clinic, the Women's Pavilion, for years, said that they expressed gratitude for the abortions that he had performed in South Bend. And what she said is it's a difficult situation, or it's a complex situation. I can't remember the exact words, but not casting judgment on him, but just then saying we're ready to move forward. And his attorney who represented him blamed the revocation on paperwork and documentation. And, you know, he always provided good care, as opposed to that there was problems with this doctor, and that thank goodness Indiana has these checks in place and enforces them. I think that's what the difference is between this case and what happened with Kermit Gosnell out in Pennsylvania, that there they turned a blind eye. Here, when the violations were found for these paperwork and documentation things, they took it seriously. And that is probably the only reason he wasn't still performing abortions up to his death, because the state enforced these rules that you will hear the pro-abortion left condemn as just targeting abortion clinics, as opposed to trying to ensure that if the Supreme Court says it's legal, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that women are protected, even though we can't protect the babies, and that they know what is going on in those clinics.
So go into a little more detail. You've mentioned several things, but Klopfer appears to have had a long track record of violations,
yes.
Not just
yes.
A lack of documentation.
So some of it was not providing painkillers that were appropriate. There were other charges, and I'm not sure how many of them were found valid. He was charged with understaffing, things along those lines. When his license was pulled, the focus was not on every single charge. So some of it was the documentation, but you have to keep in mind, the documentation confirms who had the abortion, how far along they were, their age. Those things are significant because Indiana restricts abortions after the gestational age of 20 weeks. So even those so-called paperwork violations are significant because it prevents the state from finding out what is really going on and keeping those details. So some of them were documentation ones, but I would argue that those are what allows you to kind of have the oversight, because nobody is in the room from the state, the government, with the doctor and the suction and the woman. So you do need those. But he did have other ones that were charged of not having adequate staff and not, I think the one I mentioned about using medications procured from a veterinarian outsource as opposed to that were for human patients. So there were other charges in there as well.
Talk about the opening of Whole Women's Health in South Bend.
So Whole Women's Health is a Texas chain of abortion clinics. And after Dr. Klopfer's clinic was shut down and he was losing his license, a group called Pro-Choice South Bend, which involved his former employee, Liam Morley, had reached out to Whole Women's Health to see if they would come up to South Bend. So they purchased a building and started to go through the licensing process. The license was denied the first time because they had not identified a clinic administrator. And they refiled it and identified Liam Morley. So Klopfer's former associate at the Women's Pavilion in South Bend as the clinic administrator. The state denied the license and had used two reasons. One, that they had not provided information requested about other violations at other clinics. And secondly, that they were not, had not shown that they were, I'm not sure what the language of the state actually is, but it's something along the lines of honorable and decent. There's some kind of catch-all language that talks about that they would be responsible doctors. And the Whole Women's Health went to federal court, and the federal court ordered the state to allow them to open without a license, which is completely shocking and disturbing because it was only because of those licensing requirements that the state was able to discover that Klopfer was a danger to women and obviously always a danger to babies. But it is under operation right now. I was able to receive a quote from a spokesperson from Whole Women's Health who informed me that Morley is not working with the organization now, that she had been funded by a grant, and when the grant expired, they were forced to let her go. So it is operating, but at the time that they were starting up, it was promoted by the local group, including Liam Morley, who had worked for Klopfer. And just so you know, I reached out multiple occasions to get a comment from her, and she has not returned my phone calls or emails. And I very much would like to know if she had any inkling as to what Dr. Klopfer was up to.
We're talking with Margot Cleveland about the remains of more than 2,000 babies found in the home of an Indiana abortionist. On the other side of the break, how is South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg part of this story?
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an Indiana abortionist who, after his death, it was discovered by his family that there were the remains, the news is saying, the medically preserved remains of over 2,000 babies aborted in his abortion clinic found in his home. Margo Cleveland is our guest. Margo, how is South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg part of this story?
So he is part of the story for a few reasons. First, after the Seventh Circuit, which is the federal appellate court that hears cases from federal courts in Indiana, had ruled that whole woman's health must be allowed to open, he applauded the decision and welcomed them coming to South Bend, which is troubling. You would think that the mayor of the town would want to ensure that the citizens are only being treated at places that have been licensed by the state. So that's one area. And the second is, about 2 years ago, when Whole Woman's Health was going through the process of opening up, a local organization called the Women's Care Center, which I mentioned earlier, I used to be on the board for, and I was the treasurer and worked with that organization for years. It is a pregnancy and family resource center that actually started in South Bend, but now has offices in, I want to say, 10 states, from Baltimore to Florida, out west a little bit more too. They had been given the opportunity to buy a house next door and open a center. And this is a apolitical organization. It is treating and helping women and their families. Their goal is to save the babies by loving the mother. And the city council, which there they call the common council, had voted to allow rezoning to allow the Women's Care Center to go there. And the mayor, through pretty forceful lobbying by Whole Women's Health, vetoed it, which would have prevented Women's Care Center from opening up there. And in vetoing it, he actually relied on some of the, what I would call, garbage that Whole Women's Health had sold him about violence when there's a crisis pregnancy center next to an abortion clinic. And it really is a bunch of hooey. I wrote another article on it that shows that those statistics are coming from self-reporting. And the numbers that they're talking about include intimidation. And intimidation includes any kind of contact. So someone having a sign saying adoption, not abortion, would be a feeling of intimidation. So he relied on that and said, we don't think that it's good to have these two groups as neighbors. Well, the Women's Care Center would have had a really strong litigation case against the city of South Bend, but as the president stated afterwards, that's not what they do. And a property owner across the street sold her business, and the Women's Care Center has now opened up across the street, providing real resources for women.
Why did Texas impose more than $40,000 in fines on Whole Women's Health in Austin and McAllen in their state?
So Whole Women's Health has multiple facilities in Texas, and Texas requires the disposal of the human remains in certain ways. And the state discovered that the fetal remains were being just put in with normal trash and taken to a landfill. So that is pretty telling that they weren't very concerned about the disposal of human beings in Texas at two other places. After that happened, they blamed it on the company that they had hired for the disposal. But it's under their auspices. They're responsible for it. And when you see what Klopfer did, it's pretty striking that there's always an excuse for this misconduct, and the only time there's no excuse is when all of a sudden you start seeing the dead bodies. And at that point, they try to distance themselves.
You have written recently that the Indiana Attorney General and even federal officials are preparing to launch an investigation into Klopfer. Tell us about that.
So I yesterday received a statement from Curtis Hill, who is the Attorney General for Indiana. And while the Allen County Right to Life, which is where Fort Wayne is and where Coffer had one of his clinics, was holding a press conference and demanding an investigation, Curtis Hill was already on it. He had, over the weekend, already spoken with the Illinois Attorney General and asked for their cooperation in this investigation, because those fetal remains most likely, if not definitely, are connected to Indiana, not Illinois. This is where the heart of his practice was, where he committed abortions for over 40 years and thousands of unborn babies. So I was thrilled to see that he was already looking into it and has an investigation going, and hopefully he will question these former clinic workers and look at their documentation. Hopefully there's still this documentation that's going to show where the disposal was going and who was responsible. I cannot fathom how he would be able to remove these human remains with no one knowing it. So I'm glad to see that. The federal government has also indicated that the Trump administration, that they are going to launch an investigation, which makes sense because we're talking state lines is crossed from one state to another state. And that is very helpful. Obviously, Indiana has a very important stake here. And it's not just the dignity of those babies who never had a chance to be born, but also their mothers. And there was just a really powerful talk yesterday by a young woman. Her name was, I believe, Serena Dykeman. She was groomed and raped by a relative when she was 13, went to her family doctor who referred her to the Women's Pavilion. And that is where Coffer's clinic was, and had an abortion. And she detailed the physical and the mental harm that she has suffered for years. And this has just reopened it, that she wants to know, is her baby there? And she had indicated she's going to be filing a suit against the estate to determine that. And she shared that she had spoken with other post-abortive women who were having the same type of trauma replayed on them over and over. And her talk, one thing, and I'm actually getting chills now as I'm thinking of it, is she said to the other women out there that you may have made a choice, but that doesn't mean you need to suffer. And she really called on them to reach out and find help and support. And I think this is a perfect time that if any of them are suffering from having this rehashed and knowing what Coffer did and what they allowed to be done, this is the time to come forward for healing. They can't breathe life back into the babies, but they can go on and have a happy life. And I thought that was just a very moving moment when she spoke of that.
Are the Coffer discoveries likely to affect the legal direction of the whole women's health issue in the state of Indiana, its licensing and that thing?
Well, yeah, that's tough to tell, because right now there's a preliminary injunction, which means that it's open until they have a full trial. I do think that it's going to give the state a little bit more ammunition to say, this is why we need this oversight. This is why we need the records. But when it comes to abortion, it's kind of sui generis. It's a case by itself. And you talk about the First Amendment, you talk about science, you talk about anything. They always carve out a case for abortion, because when abortion's at issue, the judges don't seem to care. The scientists don't seem to care. The supposedly ethical people don't seem to care. Or the mayor of South Bend, who, you know, inferred that you could have an abortion until a baby took a breath. Some of the Christians don't seem to care. So I don't see it having much impact on how the judge eventually rules, but it definitely will give Indiana a stronger argument, as it should. This is why states regulate. It's not why you have a federal judge coming in and deciding that you know, women need to have access to abortion, and therefore your state regulations go out the window. There's a reason for state regulations, and it's not to interfere with the access. It's to ensure that if the Supreme Court's going to mandate this on us, that we will do everything we can to provide and prevent cloppers from doing business.
How do you respond to someone who says, Kermit Gosnell, Ulrich Klopfer, they're bad apples in the abortion industry, obviously, but the vast majority of abortionists are law-abiding, ethical professionals?
You might be able to say law-abiding, but I don't think you could ever put ethical in there. But these are the ones we've caught, and it hasn't, and I don't know the name, but up in Michigan, where I'm physically located now, there was an abortion doctor who was pulled over or was stopped, and the police discovered fetal remains in his trunk. So at some point, you got to recognize that it's not just one or two, but you're seeing this more and more. And again, this is the ones we catch. How many are there that we don't catch?
Margot Cleveland is an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge. She's adjunct instructor for the College of Business at Notre Dame and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column titled Fetus Collecting Abortionists Connected to Unlicensed Abortion Facility in Buttigieg Town. You can read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Margot, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Our series on Lutheran catechesis continues with Pastor Peter Bender on the other side of the break. We remain in the third article of the Creed. We're going to talk about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century. The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.